I became an anti-Soviet dissident since I was in my early teens, and I spent about 15 years fighting that system back in the Soviet Union. And I did believe that the United States is very different and from what we had there in the Soviet Union. And I also was always very curious about how it is in the United States. And when I was expelled from the Soviet Union in 1989 for my activities against the government there, and I had to choose where to go, where to settle in my exile, so I came to the United States. And I would say that it was mainly out of curiosity to find out by myself how it looks and to compare this country to my country. And at the beginning I was very enthusiastic about life here and about how everything is here, and I continued my struggle against the Soviet system there up till the point when it collapsed. So I collaborated here in the United States with right-wing organizations, and I actually helped them to finish with that system that we had in our country. But I had no idea what can come after that. I thought it will be just good democracy and all that, those are good things that come together with democracy. But then after a few years living in this country, I just started to realize that it's not as good as I imagined. And then I became even more curious about how it is, about the real picture, not kind of propaganda colored image of this country and the system and the society. And when I became disappointed with many things here very quickly, so then I looked from some different angle, and I started my research as a journalist and go deeper into reality and try to understand how things are. And when my English became a little bit better, then I started to even write some short articles about realities here, and little by little I just felt that I can do something bigger. And this is how this book came to life. Mm-hmm. So this is why I call it Discovering America as It Is. And just little by little, how all this discovery led me to writing this big book.
What incidents do you remember early on that started, what were some of the first incidents where you started to think perhaps America wasn't all that it was made up to be?
Probably the very first bad experience here, when I was kind of shocked and became disappointed, and I started to think very seriously about going deeper into all this reality to understand more. Because before that I was kind of more busy with doing things against the Soviets those last few years of Cold War. And then my daughter was born in New York, in New York City, and we had to bring her after 2 weeks to this first checkup, to say, from doctor. And when we came there to this hospital in Manhattan, and we refused to look at her because which said she doesn't have insurance. So we tried to argue that, well, but she was born and her mother's insurance was just fine. Then they said, but now she's born, so she must have her own insurance. For us, just fresh from that Soviet system where we had free health care and free education and free housing and all other things, it was bizarre to hear those things. That we refused to check this 2 weeks old baby because of insurance. But I still believed in goodness of this democracy and all things. So then I wrote letters to some senators from New York, and I tried to fight the kind of to search for justice. But I started to talk to people also, and they said, well, it's just a normal thing. We just live this way. If you have no insurance, you have no doctor. And there were many, many things after that, personal things. But this was like turning point. And this is, I mentioned this among those very few things that I mentioned in my book from my personal experiences here. Because there were some really kind of like turning points when I just started to realize then, rather than I started to hate the system. And that, I think, point was, I don't remember which year it was now, but when they burned all those people alive in Waco, Texas. So many people say that we started to hate the system after that, but it happened, and we lived in New Jersey then, and we just were watching all that kind of standoff, how you say
standoff, yeah.
Yeah, standoff, and then they just burned, you know, and I thought, wow, this is something, and now I don't say anymore, wow, this is something, even when you had this in Seattle last week. All these things, well, for me, it's just very natural for in the system. But I even after 10 years of this kind of experiences, I still continue to be shocked with these things, but not about how we do here, like police, and but just comparing what we had in the Soviet Union and what you have here. If we had this kind of, I don't know how to call it, police brutality, as you call it here in the Soviet Union, like in 1988 when all those protests started in Lithuania from where I am, there would be worldwide outrage and saying how Soviets violate people's human rights and how it's Soviet terror, Soviet deep repressions and all things, and it's not much protest we can hear about what is going here, and even to compare my experiences there and I was involved in all kinds of battles there with police, Soviet Russian police. It never was even something close to what you had here. And we all used to call that the Soviet system brutal and inhuman and all kinds of bad words. And so this system, these kind of things just show that this system is worse. So this is how I became, again, dissident. Through my own personal experiences, such as that in St. Vincent Hospital in Manhattan when my daughter was two weeks old, and also through things like related to those people in Waco, Texas, and I continue to have those experiences, just as you had here in Seattle a week ago. So, and I can compare to from where I came, and also I can compare with with what people say from my country, my relatives, like my father, who spent 10 years in Soviet Gulag. It's actually more than Solzhenitsyn. People like him now are former prisoners, former Soviet Gulag prisoners. Now they say, wow, we had much better under Soviet regime than we have now. We have now. My father said that we never had as bad as we have now. And he was in Siberia for 10 years. And in Russia, people are just in desperate situations. So. And I can see how many people are in desperate situation here in this democracy. Then this is what led me to writing this kind of book, which is, yes, I think it is kind of a radical book comparing to you and many, because I have no reservations, how to say, that, or illusions, that, yeah, maybe there are some good sides to this system. And many people actually ask me if I believe that everything is just bad, dark, and nothing nice here. Now, while even during when I was working on this book, and there were suggestions that I should say at least a couple of good words about this system, about this country, and I said, well, I could probably say, if I compare to Europe, that in America there are supermarkets open 24 hours a day. Now, I like this. And you still have those public toilets free. In Europe you have to pay. So probably only two good things.
24-hour supermarkets and public toilets, free yeah. public toilets.
Yes.
Boy, that's a little bit of a different promotion campaign than I think probably what the U.S. has been putting out, you know, propaganda-wise. So to Americans, it's often presented that we are giving the rest of the world democracy. We are, you know, showing this wonderful example of democracy, whereas I think the reality is that the U.S. is giving the rest of the world capitalism. Do you think that's true?
Well, it's probably everybody in the former Soviet Union could say that what we got from America, actually, because America won the Cold War. So what we got is not. It can't even be called capitalism. It's just disaster. What we got is disaster, and it's just getting worse and worse. Because when everything just changed, like 8 years ago, people were believing actually that, well, maybe we have few years of kind of bad things because of changes, those kind of very radical changes. And now, with each year, even in countries like Lithuania, which is relatively well off now comparing to Russia, say. So it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Like somebody just wrote to me, some relatives in a letter, they say our life now is like how to say in English, like cancer, which progresses like cancer. And there's no hope that you can, you know, have some cure from that. It's just getting worse and worse and worse each year, each day. So this is what we got from America. And yes, in America now they say, yes, we gave democracy to Soviet Union, and now we just failed this democracy test, but it's nothing to do with democracy. It's plutocracy, and it's the system of thieves, and this is exactly what we have here in the former Soviet countries. Some of those super rich oligarchs that surrounding Yeltsin and in Kremlin, and what we call family, all those mafias, and this is exactly. You know, plutocracy is all about. So, So I don't believe in this kind of democracy, and I would even dare to say that I don't believe in democracy anymore, actually, because democracy as such simply has failed, and we don't know how democracy should look, just as we don't know actually how socialism should look, because now they say that yes, you had socialism in the Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe, and it just failed. Well, I don't believe that we had real socialism there. That there wasn't real socialism. But so what is real socialism? Some social democracy, as in Western Europe. But it's also I call it those social democracies more like mask that we had to distract their people's attention from making some better system in those countries, especially after World War II, when there was tremendous interest in the Soviet Union, what is going on there, especially in France and Italy. So we made those welfare states there. But it doesn't mean that it's real socialism. So we actually don't know what it is and how it should be. And the same is true about democracy. Because this is not democracy, what you had that week in Seattle. It's not democracy. It's worse than any fascism. And as you can see, it just takes 2 hours or maybe less to turn this so-called democracy into police state, and then the same is true about Russia. What we could see in 1993 when Yeltsin was just shooting at this parliament building from fighting opposition before tanks, and so I wouldn't call it democracy, and I wouldn't call it capitalism, actually, because it's not capitalism, it's just a system of thieves. And when Bill Gates can have his wealth just doubled in 1 year, and not just counting by millions of dollars, but billions, 100 billions, how much he has now. So it is not even capitalism, it's something wild, something, I would call it cannibalism, some kind of economic cannibalism. it's not the way even capitalism is supposed to be.
Do you think capitalism, that it was at a specific point, perhaps, that it changed from capitalism to economic cannibalism? Was it because the people themselves weren't involved? That I think Americans in many ways are very apathetic and very deluded into thinking, you know, we believe our own propaganda so much that we have incredibly low voter turnout. Yes. So I'm wondering if you think it's, if you put the, where you put the blame.
Yes, I believe that at least this capitalism, even if we call it cabins, could be at least some human face as we have in Western Europe, like in Scandinavian countries, where we have also capitalism, that system we call capitalism, but also we call this welfare states, where there are no homeless, no such crime as in this country, and yes, I believe that people are more involved there, and then we have political parties, like each election we have 20 political parties competing, and there can be real changes in their government. There can be social democrats unseated, and some right-wing party can come to power, just as it happened in Austria. So it's not something like Republicans or Democrats. It's just no difference between them. There are huge differences between the different political parties in European countries, and we really have to compete, and it's not about how much money we have in their political election campaigns, but more about we have to attract people with something, some demagogic speeches as that guy in Austria did, or with some real promises to that we have to keep after that, because if we don't keep, so there are many parties to choose from. So people are definitely more involved, and we really vote there. And I was last year in Denmark during their general strike in May, and I was just amazed how we could shut all country almost. It reminded me the worst years of how we had in the former Soviet Union, when supermarkets are almost empty, you can't buy even milk or bread. But that wasn't because of bad system, that was because people had demands. Like, we already have 5 weeks vacation a year, and we wanted 6th week. We wanted things like that in America you wouldn't even dare to imagine those things, that it's possible. And in Denmark people demanded those things, and we shut down our country with general strike, like 2 million people or something, half of population on strike. And I don't remember what we won there or not, but the point is that we are active, and just regular people, not some activists, that the people like those who were protesting here in Seattle. There were 50,000 people in Seattle, but in America there are 270 million people. So it's 50,000 is just nothing. And while in Denmark there are, I guess, 5 million people population, and like 2 million are on strike. So that is huge difference. It's like half of country are involved. And the same is true. Also, last year we had this referendum about joining or not the European Union, and I was there for more than a month. And I was very much involved in all those discussions, and because it is kind of closer to, in my imagination, how democracy should work, how people are involved in all those matters, not just watching football games as here. And I could see that in Europe, and also I can compare again through my own experiences there and here, and I can compare how people were involved in all those kind of protest demonstrations against the Soviets back in Lithuania. We had like million of people in one big square just chanting that Soviets go down and all things. So, and we have like 3 million population. Or in Estonia we had this huge protest meeting with almost all population of country in one place. Against, so people were involved, and the same is true about those huge demonstrations in France. And now I can compare that only 50,000 people from this huge nation, which is 270 million people, came to Seattle. If there were 10 million people in Seattle last year, then I would say yes, it's something. And I also can compare when 3 years ago in Eugene, Oregon, where I live, there was some protest against this welfare reform, this contract on American Republican. And we went there with my daughter, and I counted 12 people, including me and my daughter. She was like 8 years old at that time, 12 people. And after speeches and things, and like more speakers than listeners. And after just a few days, there was this, I don't know how we call it, Rose Bowl, that we go like from University of Oregon to play football to some California. So half of the population of the city of Eugene, about 60,000 people, went to California to watch this Rose Bowl. And of course, probably everybody watched on TV. So the only thing that people are really involved in this country are some football games, drugs, and all kinds of these things. We are so much involved in all this marijuana thing, which I think it's a legitimate thing that this marijuana should be legalized, and it's just stupid. But it isn't the most important thing in this society, in this or abortion. So these are just side kind of things to be involved with. But first, people should deal with this system, and then I don't know, should deal the way how we did in the Soviet Union. I don't want to say that we did the right thing and then that people are happy with the outcome of what it. But at that point of our history, 10 years ago, and we did believe that we can make change, and everybody went to stand against the Soviet tanks, and like in Vilnius and in Lithuania there are 14 people killed, and in our places people were resisting to what we believed was evil. And the same is true about still people more involved in Western Europe, like I could observe last year in Denmark. So I believe that, yes, Americans just are too apathetic, and as we have this saying, that you have that kind of system that you deserve. Actually, as I say in my book, that how you can free the slave who believes that those chains are just part of natural order.